In its absence, anger became his primary emotion. Fact. He had already heard it. Fact. This was his damn house. Fact. He was going to kill this fucking thing. Richter stopped looking for an escape and started planning for his victory. Both hands flew out, and he cast Farlight 50 more times in quick succession. The village's mana dropped by 250, but there was still more than enough available. The village mana pool would recover at more than 40 points per hour, and the light should last at least another 10 minutes. He also cast Simple Light. Between that and the glow that weak life aura caused, he could easily see the area around him. Richter drank a potion of clarity and then cast one of his new spells, Summon Weak Saproling, for the very first time. The fingers of his left hand contorted in a particular series of movements. The cast time was 3 seconds, but the aberration left him unmolested as he completed his spell. Richter felt his will push against the fabric of the world as he made a hole in space between here and somewhere else. With a final word of power, he clenched his hand into a fist. The spell was completed. A green disc, 4 feet in diameter, phased into view. Richter heard the sound of leaves rustling in the wind, and the crisp scent of pine filled the cavern. A creature stepped through the disc. The saproling was 3 feet tall and seemed to be composed of thick sticks and leaves. The pale wooden branches were bent and intertwined like wicker. It was bent forward on all fours, but its stance was more akin to an ape's than a dog's. The saproling didn't have any feet. Instead, each limb ended in a small mire of sprawling roots. The head was a solid piece of wood. 2 green balls of glowing light served for its eyes, and it looked out from holes in the front of its wooden skull. 3 more holes ran down either side of its jaw, but Richter didn't see any discernible mouth. The summoned creature looked around and then locked eyes on Richter. No sounds came from it, but Richter understood the silent communication. It was waiting for orders. It was waiting to discover why it had been summoned from whatever world it called home. He really didn't know too much about its capabilities, so he analyzed it. Saproling, level 5, health 180, mana 200, stamina 220, disposition neutral. A low-level forest elemental, a saproling can take many forms. They are often summoned by novice earth mages for a variety of tasks. Though helpful, they can also attack with deadly force when needed. Protect me! Richter shouted. He started casting more far light balls into the dark recesses. While he did, he kept searching for the entrance in case the fight went badly. He still fully intended to kill whatever was in here with him, but he didn't see any shame in strategically retreating if the fight turned south. The hair on the back of his neck was up as he tried to look everywhere at once. He kept imagining that he could detect the pitch-black skin of the aberration. Each time he created a ball of light, it stuck to whatever surface it met, but he saw no sign of the monster. Richter just couldn't stop thinking about the fact that even though the aberration could be hiding 10 feet away, he still might not see it. As it turned out, the monster was only hiding 8 feet away, hanging from the wall above and behind him. A tentacle snaked out of the darkness and wrapped around Richter's neck. It yanked him off his feet and cut off his oxygen like a noose. Richter felt the small mouths on the inside of the tentacles bite him. What was worse was the nauseating pulling sensation. With budding horror, he realized that this thing was drinking his blood even as it choked him. The saproling immediately rushed to the wall to attack the monster, but that did nothing to help Richter directly. More tentacles reached out to combat his summoned creature. The saproling was stopped a good 5 feet away from the mouths Richter could now see yawning open. He reached up instinctively and tried to dig his fingers into the space between his neck and the tentacle holding him. There was no gap to be found, however. As soon as he touched the tentacle, it tightened like a garrote. The pressure increased behind his eyes as the flow of blood was constricted further. The muscles in his abdomen constricted, and Richter had to fight a sudden urge to urinate on himself. He probably wouldn't have been able to resist that primal defense mechanism, but the panic that rose within him as soon as his feet left the ground suddenly abated slightly. An unseen notation on his combat log detailed that Courage 1 had just taken effect. His conscious mind took over, and he realized that he wasn't using the best weapon at his disposal. The actual weapon in his fucking hand! The tentacles still held him aloft and had twisted his body around as it tightened. This was good news, because it let him face the wall where the monster was fighting his sapling. If the tentacle were still behind him, he would not have been able to hit it effectively with his sword. In this position, though, Richter was able to first bring the sword across his body and then swing at the tentacle with a mighty backhand. The clear green blade refracted the light slightly as it arced through the poorly lit cave. Richter's vision was starting to darken when the blade hit the tentacle. His teeth bared in a grimace triggered by both pain and a desperate need to free himself from the aberration's grasp. The oxygen wasn't the problem. Richter knew for a fact that he could hold his breath for minutes. The lack of blood flow was another matter. If he didn't get free in the next few seconds, he would lose consciousness. Once that happened, game over. Time seemed to slow for Richter. External sounds faded, as all he could hear was a ringing in his ears and a distant thud from a just-finished heartbeat. Once the sword touched the tentacle, though, he rejoined the world, jarringly, and a horrifying screech filled the air. Each of the aberration's mouths was wide opened and caterwauling at different tones, from a deep roar to a ladylike scream. His blade had struck the black tentacle a foot from his face. It was more than close enough for him to see a flash of blue-white frost when it struck. The elementum blade sank easily into the octopus-like limb and cut more than halfway. Richter yanked his arm down, sawing the length of his short sword the rest of the way through. The severed end of the limb whipped back and forth, spraying black blood across Richter's face and body. He didn't care, though, because he was in the process of falling to the floor. He was able to land on his feet, but he still collapsed to his knees due to his blood-starved brain. The severed rubbery tentacle was no longer squeezing with crushing force, but it remained tightly wrapped around his neck. Richter dropped his sword and grabbed the bleeding stump with both hands. He started unwinding it from around his neck, but when he was half done, it seemed to stick. He heard a sound like a tree limb breaking and assumed that the sapling was not faring well. Richter gave a mighty yank and a sucker came free, ripping a set of sharp teeth free as well. A red teardrop icon appeared in the corner of his vision, indicating bleeding status. Richter felt blood flowing freely down his neck and chest. The blood loss of 5 HP per minute was minor compared to his 589 health point total, so he didn't hesitate to rip the rest of the suckers free. Two more teeth-filled suckers were attached, and the teardrop grew a deeper red in color, but he was finally able to breathe unencumbered. His head was spinning, but Richter heard more sounds of breaking wood. He didn't have the luxury of recovery time. He grabbed his sword with one hand and tried to cast weak, slow heal. Nothing more than a rasp came out. Another loud crunch resounded in the cavern. It drew Richter's gaze to the battle between his sapling and the dark aberration. Pieces of wood littered the ground, and he could see that the sapling's legs had been ripped off. The forest creature had not finished fighting, however. Large thorns had sprouted along the entire length of its body, and it was clawing furrows in the dark aberration's tentacles. The only problem was that there were still so many tentacles to fight. Richter's summoned creature still had not gotten close enough to score against the monster's body. As he watched, five more tentacles wrapped around the sapling despite the damage the spikes caused. The tentacles tightened, and the wooden creature inside the vise started to convulse in a hopeless attempt to escape. Richter knew he didn't have much time. Once the sapling was disposed of, the aberration would devote its sole attention to him. Without the ability to cast magic, he wouldn't last 5 seconds. Richter pulled an enhanced health potion out of his bag and downed it. He immediately felt the holes in his neck begin to close and the soreness in his throat start to ease. Whether the potion was strong enough to repair his bruised voice box was anyone's guess. In hopes of bringing himself back to full fighting potential, he also released the power of his Ring of Healing. That done, Richter sheathed his sword while the sapling continued to be slowly crushed into oblivion. The aberration whipped a free tentacle in his direction, but Richter was already moving backwards. He rolled out of the way and stood. In a now practiced motion, he reached into his bag of holding and drew out his recurve bow of the wood sprite as if he were drawing a blade. After it was fully clear of the space-folding properties of the bag, he let the smooth wood slide through his hand until he reached the handle, and with his other hand, he pulled an arrow from the quiver on his back and knocked it to the string. The entire process took less than 2 seconds. Without the ability to speak, he only had one other type of magic available to him. His first type of magic. The sprite skill to imbue his arrows. The glow around the arrow started as a pure gold. A second later, a dark tinge could be seen on the surface of the golden shell. More cracking sounds reverberated through the chamber, and the sapling's head was now whipping violently back and forth as it tried to free itself. Just hold on a little longer, Richter thought with silent urgency. Another second passed, and black streaks appeared on his golden arrow. He had to resist the urge to try and force more mana into the arrow. That simply wasn't the way sprite magic worked. Instead, Richter had to relax and let the magic flow through him and into the arrow. So that's what he tried to do. Another second passed. The streaks flowed faster. Richter kept drawing mana from the village reserves. He watched as another tentacle snaked over to wrap around the sapling's head. With a final tightening, the monster wrenched the sapling's head free. The rest of the wooden limbs lost all life and movement. In the dim light shining on the aberration, Richter saw several of the eyes that were sunk into its body turn in his direction. He was out of time. With a shout that he hadn't been capable of moments before, Richter let the arrow fly. The aura around it had gained enough power that the black line adopted a swirling candy cane appearance before it left his bow. Even though the distance was small, Richter used focus, magnifying his target by 2.4 times. He couldn't risk hitting the sea of tentacles. The damn thing just seemed to shrug that off. So he aimed for the most vulnerable spot he could see. The arrow moved across the 20 yards at a speed of hundreds of miles per hour. As fast as the tentacles were, they couldn't intercept the glowing projectile. It threaded the needle through more than a dozen writhing tentacles and reached its target, the largest open mouth that Richter could see. The parrot-like beak was a foot across and 2 feet high. It was open in a raucous scream of triumph over crushing the sapling. As soon as Richter had seen the mouth open, he'd thought, "Keep laughing, motherfucker!" The arrow impacted just as he had hoped, several inches inside of the hooked bill. A deafening boom sounded inside of the cavern, staggering Richter. Less than a second later, the shockwave from the powerful impact finished the job and knocked him down. Richter didn't mind. He knew he had hurt his enemy. Even though his ears were ringing, he could still hear the piteous cries coming out of the dark aberration's remaining mouths. He looked up from his crouched position and saw a large crater where the mouth had been. 3 of the tentacles near the impact site lay limp. The rest moved in different directions without rhyme or reason. Pieces of black blood and flesh fell from the wound. Richter stood and knocked another arrow, but he had no time to imbue it. With a furious roar, the aberration flowed over the floor like oil. Richter released his arrow, but it just struck the body of the monster, barely penetrating its resilient skin. Meanwhile, it quickly scurried towards him, half of its tentacles acting as legs. Richter's hastened body let him at least match the monster in speed. He dropped his bow and slapped both wrists together. Bracing 1 foot behind him in a staggered stance, he dual-cast weak flame. His fear and anger made his will powerful. For the first time, he had no difficulty at all forcing the words out, and his fingers almost danced as he completed the 1 second incantation. A gout of orange flame shot from his hands and bathed the aberration in fire. The mouths started screaming again, but it didn't stop coming. Some of the tentacles formed a shield to block the body from the worst of the damage. Richter tried to pour more power into the spell, but he couldn't increase the DPS just by force of will. The lance of fire burned the front tentacles to char, but precious little damage was done to the main body. Before Richter could do anything else, one of the undamaged tentacles grabbed his leg and pulled him off his feet. Richter fell hard and struck his head. For the first time, he experienced spell feedback. The power he had been channeling stopped flowing out of him and bottlenecked inside of his own body. Richter felt a moment of blinding pain and then nothing. He had been dazed and confused before, but he had never felt anything like this. Richter was conscious of his own existence, but all sensations fled. The only saving grace was that he had only been channeling a novice-level spell. The spell feedback was not prolonged, but it was still more than enough time for Richter to be put at the mercy of the aberration. When he came to, the aberration had a tentacle wrapped around each of his arms and legs. Richter was spread-eagled and was being held several feet in the air. He had no idea why he was still alive. Why would the monster have left him alive? That was when it spoke.
"So, you are the new master."
Of course, the evil tentacle monster can talk, Richter thought. The mouth that was speaking had a long, forked tongue set between thin lips. As he hung there, he watched the various eyes open and close. More than one of the eyes seemed lazy and appeared to be looking just past him. For some reason, as he hung there at the mercy of this freak of magic, the fact that he didn't know which eye to stare at irritated the shit out of him.
"Do you know what your people have done to us?"
the aberration asked. This time it was a different mouth. The tones had the musical cadence of the wood elves, and the language was in wood elf speak as well. Richter tried to yank one of his arms free, but the monster just tightened its grip. He felt one of the suckers pierce the flesh of his leg, and then felt that horrible draining sensation again.
"Don't do that,"
the creature said. The mouth speaking was small, with human lips. Horrifyingly, it was the voice of a young girl.
"We had to wait so long for you to wake up."
"Well, not that long,"
said a mouth with a sultry woman's voice.
"Only a few minutes."
"It felt like a long time,"
the child mouth pouted. Then it giggled.
"If you want to keep being bad, though, you will have to be punished."
All of the tentacles tightened more, and Richter's shoulder and hip sockets ached from the strain. His eyes almost screwed shut, but then a tentacle moved towards his face. Richter braced himself to be choked again, but it just gently caressed his face. The mouths started chuckling evilly. Then the tip of the tentacle was at his mouth, trying to force its way in. Richter screwed his lips tight and twisted his head to the side, but a tentacle wrapped around his neck to keep his head still. Soon, he felt the tip pressing against his lips again, trying to wriggle its way inside. "This can't be happening," he thought. Richter's fingers were still free, but with his arms and legs spread as they were, his weak ice dagger and weak flame spells would just shoot off into darkness. As the tentacle poked at his lips, the horrifying laughter coming from the dark monster deepened. The strength in the tentacles holding his arms and legs was massive. He had no doubt that the black tip pressing on his lips could force its way in if it really wanted to. The damn thing was toying with him.
"Shh, shh, shh,"
the sultry mouth said to the other voices.
"The young master here should know why he is so important to us. We have been trapped here for so many years, living off of the ambient dark energy of this place of power."
The voice turned wistful.
"You should have seen us in the past. We were so much stronger, grander."
The mouth smiled at Richter, showing a set of yellow, rotted teeth.
"Now you are here, though, and everything will be better."
The chuckling began again. Another voice started speaking in the gruff tones of a male dwarf.
"You will join us. We will add you to us. The last time we added a master, we were well fed for a century."
The tone grew insidious and teasing.
"Now, would you like to know how we are going to add you?"
Richter wanted to try to bargain with the thing, but he didn't dare risk opening his lips. The questing tentacle traced the outline of his mouth. This shit cannot be happening, he thought again.
We just have to put a bit of us inside you and leave it there. If you die before you get it out, we can absorb you,
the child voice said, giggling.
Of course, if you don't want us to go in from the top, there is another option.
Yet one more black appendage snaked forward. It touched the cap of his leg, then slowly slid upward. The tentacle at his mouth started poking the center of his lips again. He would try to wriggle inside, withdraw an inch, and then poke his mouth again. He couldn't even move his head away because of the vice-like grasp the aberration had on his neck. The tentacle between his legs latched onto the small space near his groin that his greaves left unarmored. A sucker attached to his pants, and the sharp teeth sunk through the fabric and into the meat of his thigh. The black feeler gave a sudden wrench downward. Both Richter's pants and the meat of his thigh tore free. A large chunk of Richter's flesh was still attached to the tentacle. Blood flowed freely down his leg, and the bleeding status he had earlier was put to shame. A large blood-red teardrop appeared in the corner of his vision, showing that he was losing 14 health points per second. An involuntary scream escaped from Richter's mouth before he clamped it closed again. The black limb at his face continued poking his lips. The aberration's raucous laughter filled the air.
Oh, you taste so good,
the sultry voice said with a disgusting hunger.
We must have more.
The tentacles holding Richter moved him upward and forward until his body was suspended above the black mass of the aberration's body. It contorted him so that the blood draining out of his leg dripped directly into one of the mouths. The creature's other mouths cooed as the mouth beneath him noisily smacked and gulped his life essence.
Stop, the gruff dwarf mouth said. We can't kill him yet.
Some of the other mouths complained or grumbled, but Richter was moved back in front of the monster, his limbs spread-eagled again. The monster had drunk his blood for more than 10 seconds. The time it had spent draining him had at least allowed his bleeding status to improve. The large blood-red icon had been replaced with a smaller one. Red blood continued to flow down Richter's leg, but at a reduced rate. Despite the blood loss having decreased, he still felt a trifle woozy.
Now, we are sorry for that bit of unpleasantness,
said a voice that hadn't spoken yet. Richter couldn't see which mouth was speaking, but the voice was the most surreal yet. It sounded like a kindly old grandfather, comforting and reasonable.
You must understand, though, young master, we have been trapped here for so long. I'm sure you wouldn't begrudge a starving man a meal, would you?
All of the eyes that Richter could see oriented on his face. The tentacle was still poking at his mouth, so he kept his lips screwed shut. The silence stretched out, and the eyes seemed to widen expectantly, so he gave a slight shake of his head, all he could manage with the tentacle around his neck.
See, we knew you could be reasonable,
the kind voice said. Some of the other mouths seemed to grumble in disagreement. The voice continued,
You have hurt us. Your arrow silenced one of our voices, and your fire burnt many of our limbs. But we think we can put that behind us. As we said earlier, we have been trapped here for many centuries. An old runic enchantment has kept us tied to this place since we were created by a master of this place of power so long ago. We believe it is only fair that because you are the new master, that you fix this grave injustice.
The voice started sounding less reasonable and adopted a note of what Richter could only identify as a religious zeal.
We have suffered long enough. Our pitiful level and size are only the barest glimmer of our former power. We must be free. You will set us free. If you do not, you will be subject to the most depraved violations that we have come up with over the countless years of confinement. We see the defiance in your eyes. We feel you still wriggling to get free. Perhaps you just need a taste of what we can do.
A tentacle slipped up his leg, having entered through the hole in his pants. The tentacle at his mouth drew back a foot. The protrusion tensed, and the tip grew more pointed. It quivered, and Richter knew that playtime was over. The tentacle in his pants moved between his legs and up to his buttocks. He knew that in just a second, the tentacle in front of his face would drive forward into his mouth and down his throat. He had a pretty good idea that the other one might try to meet in the middle. Richter could see the future clearly, and the fear of what was coming felt like a black hand wrapping around his heart. He wasn't done, though, and his anger hadn't abandoned him. Richter hadn't been wriggling just to try and free himself. He had been trying to cast the one spell that could possibly help. He knew that he would only have one chance. He had to inflict as much damage as possible in the opening salvo, so he had been attempting to dual cast the only spell that he could aim in his position, Weak Sonic Wail. Again and again, the spell fizzled as he tried to complete the necessary hand motions. His position made it difficult to coordinate the specific gestures, and the word of power continually stuck in his throat. The impossibility of his task added to his panic, but this wasn't the first time he had dealt with an implacable enemy. The same rage he had felt when he had triggered a bomb in Sonore's face rose inside of him. With fury making tears leak from his eyes, he started moving his hands in sync one last time. His mouth opened, and he forced out the word of power.
Sonikaru!
Rings of force rose up through his throat and left his mouth. His teeth bared in a wide mouth rictus, and his eyes tightened against the force he was expelling out into the cavern. The pain in his jaw made him think that it was breaking under the force of the dual casting, but that was nothing compared to what happened to the aberration. The invisible rings of force quickly widened as they left Richter's mouth. Though he couldn't see the physical manifestation of the spell, he could see the effect on the monster. The tentacle in front of his face bent back. The force of Richter's spell hit the black creature, and he saw the skin on the body ripple as it was buffeted by a quick succession of sonic waves. The monster screamed and seemed to lose the ability to control itself. The black mass of its body fell to the ground as the tentacles, keeping it upright, spasmed randomly. The inky limbs holding Richter upright flailed around as well. The ones holding his arms and right leg released their grip. The small mouths left bloody wounds as they detached in some places, but nothing major. The tentacle on his left leg actually tightened and yanked Richter to the side. He fell to the ground, one leg still bound, but he kept his face and his spell focused on the dark aberration. A second later, even that tentacle released, and Richter was free. He kept his mouth pointed at the monster for a final second, enjoying seeing the mouths open in screams. He couldn't hear it, the weak sonic wail having deafened him from being used in such a confined space, but Richter still took pleasure in the silent suffering. Once his spell was done, the monster was able to regain some control over itself. Some of the mouths opened and closed, forming unheard words as its tentacles tried to lift its body off of the cavern floor. Richter raised his hands. His fingers interwove, each five a mirror of the other, and he spat a word of power. Once again, the orange lance of flame spread over the monster. His leg was still bleeding and pained him terribly, but when Richter spoke, there was joy in his voice. The aberration's mouths were once again unified in screams.
I know you were probably trying to say something, but I can't hear you. When I was fucking you up with my sonic attack, I think it blew out my eardrums. I want you to know, though, I do think you had a good point. I do plan to fix the mistakes of those who came before me. Namely, that someone thought it was a good idea to make a schizoid rapist monster like you.
Richter focused the flame on the base of the tentacles closest to him. It let him hurt the body and burn off the aberration's ability to attack. It was able to launch an attack or two at him, but he would immediately turn his flamethrower on that tentacle, and it would quickly slough off. Soon, all of the tentacles on one side of its body were gone. It continued to try and lift itself up with the tentacles on its body that remained, but Richter turned his flame to those as well. When only a few remained in odd places, he finally stopped his fire spell. As soon as he let up his fiery attack, he cast Weak Slow Heal and then Grease One. Once the brown, gravy-colored film had settled over the monster, he cast Weak Flame again. The oily residue left by the earth spell fed the flames even after he stopped the spell. As he watched the monster burn, Richter's hearing returned like someone unclicked the mute button. He could hear the screams filling the cavern again.
No, stop hurting us!
The child's voice wailed.
We will kill you! The dwarf's voice threatened.
Please, master, we can be nice! The sultry voice begged.
Richter ignored them all. Most of his balls of far light had gone out during his recovery from the spell feedback and the subsequent attack. He cast Simple Light, and the glow was enough for him to see his discarded Elementum shortsword. He walked a few paces away from the monster and picked up the sword. He knew the one-minute cooldown had elapsed, and so he cast Weak Sonic Wail for a second time. Once again, the spell completely incapacitated the monster for 3 seconds. Once again, the mute button got clicked, and all sound went away. That didn't bother him, though. Richter still had a bit of pep in his step while he walked around the aberration and systematically hacked off its remaining tentacles. The fire went out after the Grease One spell expended itself. The aberration lay there, several of the mouths mewling piteously. He cast Weak Slow Heal and happily listened to its suffering once his hearing returned again. Richter cast Simple Light, and a glowing ball rose above his head. As he watched, the black mass quivered. It clearly strained and somehow rolled over a bit. Uncharred flesh presented itself, and a mouth that had escaped Richter's assault spoke. The voice spoke in the musical tones of the wood sprites, and the language was sprite speak.
Have mercy on us, it wheezed. We are only what we were made to be.
Other mouths continued to cry softly. Richter extended his hand and spoke a word of power. Soul Trap settled onto the monster. He leaned over and spoke with a still certainty. You chose the right voice to plead for mercy. That's what I will give to the poor spirits who were sacrificed to make you. As Richter raised his sword, the monster's eyes oriented on it. As the green blade fell, every one of the monster's remaining mouths screamed.
Chapter 6, Day 102, Kuralt 21, 15,368 EBG.
Richter's arm was tired by the time he was done. He had hacked the aberration to pieces. Then he had hacked the larger pieces into smaller pieces. Then he had stomped on some of the smaller pieces for good measure. Through the entire experience, voices pleaded for mercy. Most he could ignore. The barking of a kobold voice. The squeaking of a goblin promising retribution. But the children's voices tugged at his heart. He had tried to localize where those were coming from and attack those spots first. As his elementum sword swung down and mutilated the small mouths, he had to continually remind himself that he was actually ending the life of a monster. The process took longer than he would have thought necessary, and he had to renew his soul trap spell 3 more times. Finally, the last piece of black flesh stopped moving and a ribbon of rainbow light spiraled around him multiple times before disappearing into his bag. Richter sat down heavily, almost collapsing to the ground. His throat was hoarse. Sometime during his butchery of the aberration, he had started shouting, or screaming, or laughing. He really wasn't sure. All he knew was that he was drained. The wound on his leg pulsed with pain. He was still bleeding slightly, but it wasn't a significant problem. He had hundreds of health left. Richter made a quick check of his village mana pool and saw that he had used more than 500 MPs during the fight. His head throbbed from channeling so much magic, but he still cast Weak Slow Heal again. The wound on his thigh closed, as did the other bloody rents caused by the sharp tentacle teeth. The bleeding finally stopped. He drank some water, and by simply supplying this basic human need, he felt much refreshed. He stood and then cast Summon Weak Life Wisp. A ball of golden light came into being and slowly orbited him in a 2-foot radius. The wisp would heal him if he suffered any more damage. He hadn't seen anything besides the aberration in the cavern system, but then again, he hadn't seen the aberration until it had attacked him. He hoped that the monster had killed anything else that might be in here, but he wasn't going to take any chances. He recast Simple Light, Weak Haste, Barkskin 1, Weak Life Armor 1, and Weak Life Aura. Between his buffs, the wisp, and the Simple Light, he could easily see within 10 feet of where he was standing. Past that, though, was darkness. Richter knew he needed to get out of there, but he wouldn't be able to if he couldn't see. This interlocking series of small caves was confusing. The main problem was that he couldn't see the entirety of the cave system with the light magic he had at his disposal. The novice-level spells just weren't strong enough. He thought about it for a minute, then he realized the solution was literally at his fingertips. He accessed his city interface and pulled up the spells section. He immediately saw the Summon Mistworker spell. He had cast it plenty of times before. Almost all of the other spells were grayed out. He didn't have access to them yet. Richter knew that one more was available, though. He just hadn't had the opportunity to cast it before. Finally, he found it. Mist Light creates a ball of glowing mist. It will affix to whatever surface it is pressed against or can be maintained at a fixed point in midair. The light can be physically moved as needed. The properties of your place of power will keep this spell going much longer than almost any other spell. The mist light will last for a full year, fueled by the ambient magic of the location. This is a settlement spell. Can only be cast within the domain of your village. Cost 50 mana. Duration 1 year. Range 500 feet. Cast time 1 minute. Cooldown not applicable. Richter accessed the spell. A cool and wet feeling built within him, just like when he'd summoned the Mistworkers in the past. A slow series of movements came to him unbidden, and he began speaking a language of magic that not even his gift of tongues ability could decipher. A minute later, a basketball-sized gray globe shot from his hands towards the ceiling. It rose 15 feet and then affixed to the roof of the cavern. For the first time since being attacked, he could see clearly in all directions. The first thing that he noticed was a large, round boulder about 30 yards away. It was resting on a depression in the floor. Richter suddenly knew why he couldn't find the exit before. It also explained what the loud crash had been when he had first been attacked. While he was flying through the air like a demented squirrel, the aberration must have rolled a boulder over the opening to prevent his escape. Richter walked up to the rock. It was roughly rounded on the bottom to fit snugly into the hole. It was only about 3 feet high and 4 feet to either side, but that still meant it was more than a cubic meter. The thing probably weighed 2 tons. Even with his strength of 28, there was no way he could deadlift 2,000 kilos. Maybe, just maybe, he could shift it, though. He took his belt of strength out of his bag and put it on. The sustenance belt took its place in the special folds of his bag of holding. His muscles grew somewhat, and increased strength flowed through his body. He walked around the rock, trying to figure out the best way to approach the problem. The small boulder was only a couple feet from the wall, so Richter ultimately decided that he should just brace his back against the rock. He put his feet on the wall and, checking to be sure he was in a good position, started pushing with his legs. The rock dug into his back as he put more and more force into his push. It was extremely uncomfortable, but finally, he felt the boulder start to shift. Giving it all he had, he gave a mighty push and the rock rolled free of the hole. The problem was that the last shove with his legs overbalanced him, and he fell backwards and head first into the hole. "Shit!" he said as he slowly toppled over. The hole was only 3 feet deep, so he didn't fall far, but it still hurt when he whacked his head on the ground. The blow prompted a loud, "Ow!" His exclamation stemmed more from irritation than pain. When he heard the rock shifting again, however, he looked up quickly and saw that it was slowly tipping back towards the hole. He hadn't pushed it all the way into a stable position. It was going to fall back into place.
He'd be crushed.
With no time to do anything else, he pushed himself up into a handstand and bent at the waist so his body was in a seven position. Then, with all the force he could muster, he started kicking at the rock above him. Each kick would rock the stone away from him, but it wasn't enough to get it to fully tip over and leave him in safety. So he just kept kicking.
Move, you son of a bitch! Take this boot! Just fall over, bitch! Gah!
This was how Sion, Tarad, Calder, Futin, Alma, and several of the guards found him. Upside down, kicking like a drunk baby and shouting obscenities up into a hole. It was later explained to Richter that the entire rescue party had come at a run. Sion had heard the sound of Richter's shout when the dark aberration had attacked, quickly followed by the heavy thud of the boulder sealing off the entrance to the caverns above. He had tried to move the rock, but to no avail, so he ran to get help. The guards had all come running when Sion relayed the danger he suspected Richter was in, but it had still taken time to run the miles between the village proper and the waterfall that hid the cave. By the time they had returned, Richter had just freed himself and was now trying desperately not to be crushed. So as they walked up to the tunnel and peered in, they saw their lord upside down with arrows strewn about him that had fallen from his quiver, gyrating his hips as he kicked like a drunken baby and shouted at something above him. Confusion and astonishment were the order of the day for the now unneeded rescue team. Even Sion was rendered somewhat dumbstruck at the bizarre tableau. So they watched Richter for a good little while before the sprite said, "What the hell are you doing?" Richter looked over while still kicking the rock and said, "Don't ask me stupid questions! Someone get over here and help me push this fucking rock over before it crushes me!" Calder ran up the incline, and after a bit of body manipulation, managed to push his hands up between Richter's legs. Between the two of them, Richter and his new sergeant were able to push the boulder over into a stable position. The master of the Mist Village breathed a deep sigh of relief. That was when he realized that he was now in perhaps an even more precarious position. He swore everyone present to secrecy, but he learned a little-known fact that day. When you're in a handstand and another man is standing in front of you, at the very least, you're going to get a whiff of balls or ass.
Chapter 7, Day 102, Keralt 21, 15,368 EBG. Richter finally righted himself, and everyone else filed into the cavern. None of his guards said anything, and even jovial Calder seemed a bit uncomfortable with the sequence of events that had just unfolded. There had been some confusion about whether he or Richter should move out of the hole first, which in turn had caused some grazing of cheek and nethers, but again, that occurrence fell under Richter's royal decree of silence. It was made a bit more awkward by the large hole in his pants and the unrestricted view that provided while Richter was upside down. Calder, for his part, seemed more comfortable wandering into the caves to search for more monsters than hanging around a man he'd almost teabagged. All of the other guards fanned out in a loose circle around Richter, and, except for Sion asking if Richter needed to go wash his face, there were no more awkward moments.
"You just can't stay out of trouble, can you?" Sion asked.
He walked over to the aberration's mutilated body as he spoke.
"It looks like you won, though."
Richter shrugged as if his victory had been no big deal.
"Some motherfuckers always try to ice skate uphill."
Futin floated up and hovered above his master. Alma flew up into the cave and settled on his shoulders. She licked a clean section of his face in affection, but then nipped his ear hard enough to draw a drop of blood. When he recoiled, she spoke in his head to make sure that he had received the message.
"Where have you been?" she thought at him with consternation. "You stay with me. I keep you safe."
Richter chuckled at his protective little familiar.
"You do know that I'm the master here, right?"
Alma just sniffed at him and tightened the grip her tail had on his arm. The message was clear. Master or not, she was going to be watching him closely for the next little while. Knowing the futility of arguing with self-righteous women, he just smiled again. Richter looked over at his captain and said,
"Tarad!"
"Yes, Lord Richter,"
the man replied with his fist clapped to his heart. The other men followed suit.
"I am so sorry about the danger you were just in. From now on, you will have a guard with you at all times. I will need you to let me know if you plan to do any more exploring. Then I will—
Hey, Richter said loudly. He could just see his future. If Tirad had his way, Richter would be low-jacked. We live in a dangerous world. Shit happens. I appreciate your concern, but I won't be coddled. I'm in charge here, and you do what I say. Capiche?
Tirad looked somewhat confused by the last word, but Richter's general meaning was clear enough. Seeing the steely determination in his liege's eye, he dropped the issue, but not his salute.
I understand, my lord.
Richter relaxed. Good. Now don't worry about what just happened in here. Let's focus on what we need to happen now. Start searching the cavern with your men. No one goes out alone, though. Teams of five. If anyone encounters a hostile, come back here, and we tackle it together.
Tirad nodded and started snapping orders. He took charge of one group and Calder took over the other. It worked out well, because there were two main exits from the entrance cavern they were in. A small one on the right, and one on the left that led downward slightly.
Richter took a couple of minutes to make two more mist lights and gave one to each group. He also ordered Futin to move around the caverns and make enough mist lights to illuminate the entire system. The two parties and the remnant moved off into the side caverns while Richter and Sion examined the remains of the aberration. In the mist light, several components of the slaughtered monster caught his eye.
You have found Tentacle of the Dark Aberration. Herb class unusual. Possible uses. Centuries of dark magic have coursed through this beast until its flesh is almost pure element. The concentrated dark magic can be distilled from its flesh. You feel that it could make a potion to greatly increase the strength of dark spells for a short time. It could also be added to certain items to add dark damage or defense. Only experimentation will tell for sure.
They were able to recover 14 complete lengths of those, each 10 to 15 feet long. The rest were badly charred or chopped into bits.
You have found Flesh of the Dark Aberration. The description was the same as the tentacles. Richter was only able to find 16 pieces large enough to register as flesh. The rest of the mutilated carcass didn't provide a prompt.
You have found Blood of the Dark Aberration. Herb class unusual. Possible uses. You feel that this could be a component of a potion of dark resistance or a dark poison. It could also be used to hide from means of detection reliant on dark power.
There was more than enough to be found in puddles and around the body. The chunks of flesh and the tentacles still dripped blood as well. Richter filled several dozen vials and resolved to collect more later. He stopped when he found a black gem shining dully in the light.
You have found Dark Gem. This is a quest item.
You have unlocked a secret quest. Who will you be to?
Hundreds, if not thousands, died in the experiments that created the dark aberration. Some gave more than their lives, however. Their very souls were trapped by the energies unleashed. The prison for one of these souls is the dark gem that you hold. Find 19 more and take them to a light master if you wish to free these souls. If you do not, these dark gems can be converted into filled special level soul stones. Do you accept this quest, yes or no? Reward unknown.
Richter's mind was spinning by the time he finished reading the prompt.
Secret quest? And he was on part two? What had been part one?
He looked at the small jewel in his hand. The dark gem looked like a shard of obsidian about 4 inches long and as big around as his thumb at one end. The other end tapered to a dull point, and it had 4 flat, smooth sides. It was amazing to think that this thing could become a special level stone. According to the quest prompt, there were 19 more.
He told Sion what the prompt had said, and they started searching the rest of the blood and flesh. They quickly found 5 more. One of the search teams came back while they were searching. Calder and the other men looked with revulsion at the sprite and their Chaos Seed Lord rooting around in the foul-smelling black blood and flesh. But that revulsion turned to dread once Richter gave them an order to help. The men just stood there until Calder snapped some orders of his own.
You heard the Lord. Get your asses over there and find those gems. What? Do you think you're too good to get in the muck? I swear to the banished gods, the last person over there would clean out the latrines with their hands. Move your asses!
The soldiers lost their reticence and dove into the task with gusto. Whatever reservations Richter might have had about Calder disappeared at that moment. The sergeant kept strict discipline. Richter knew that his people would need that if they were ever going to transition from a militia into a true army. The soldiers took out knives and started inspecting the pieces of the aberration. More than a few retched, and one actively started vomiting when he reached a hand inside a body cavity, but they still did what was required. Before Tirad's group returned, Richter had all 20 crystals in front of him. Seeing as how the soldiers were already soiled, Richter took out several empty vials and had them start collecting blood. A simple, "You heard him," from Calder got them moving again. Richter asked the sergeant if he had found anything while searching the caves, but the answer was a succinct no. When he saw that Richter didn't have any follow-up questions, Calder stooped down to help his men. As the guards worked, Richter examined the notifications that had appeared and been auto-minimized since he had been attacked. You have filled Soul Stone of Dark Aberration. Durability, 35 of 35. Item class, scarce. Soul level, special. Status, filled. Weight, 0.3 kilograms. Richter couldn't keep a smile from creeping onto his face. He didn't let himself get too distracted by his new swag, though, and kept going through the notifications. Congratulations, you have reached subskill level 5 in focus. Zoom increased by 0.5 times. Congratulations, you have reached skill levels 7 and 8 in small blades, plus 16% attack speed, plus 16% bonus to damage. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 11 in light armor, plus 22% to defense of all light armor. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 7 in dual casting. Dual total spell power increased to plus 228%. Extra mana drain decreased to plus 286%. Chance of spell miscast decreased by increasing this skill. This number is affected directly by spell level and caster's proficiency in that branch of magic. Congratulations, you have reached skill levels 7 and 8 in fire magic. New spells are now available. Richter cycled through those prompts quickly and found what he had been looking for. You have unlocked a secret quest, Who Will You Be 1. You have found a cavern that was once a site of sacrifice. Countless lives were extinguished in these dark caverns, far from the light or any hope of escape. The pain and magic unleashed here created a dark aberration. Trapped within it are the crystallized souls of some of these sacrificed men, women, and children. Kill the aberration to find the dark gems that contain these souls. Reward unknown. Do you accept, yes or no? Richter had never finished a quest before he had accepted it. He wasn't sure exactly what would happen, but he chose yes anyway. You have completed the secret quest, Who Will You Be 1? You have slain the dark aberration. Reward 25,000 experience points. He smiled. Richter was glad that he hadn't missed out on so much experience. Now the question was, what to do with the second part of the quest? Of course he wanted to help the unfortunate souls that had been trapped for so long, but he'd have to give up 20 special level soul stones as well. He could make 3 full sets of highly enchanted armor and weapons with them. While his elementum sword was wonderful, the potential damage could have been so much higher if Krom had had a special soul stone to work with. Richter stared at the treasure in front of him, more than tempted to take the money and run. He could rationalize that using the soul stones could save the people that were still living here in the village. After all, it wasn't like he could bring back the people that were killed in the dark experiments that had made the aberration. What was done, right? Richter stared at the gems so long that Sion asked him if he was all right. Richter shrugged the question off and kept pondering the decision he had to make. Did he owe anything to these people? Despite the fact that he was the master of the Mist Village now, he wasn't responsible for the actions of previous masters, right? Richter played several arguments through his mind, but the whole time a part of him knew what he would choose. He had to help these people, or what was left of them anyway. He chose yes for the second quest. Richter placed all 20 dark gems in his bag. He looked at Sion and said, "Sorry, just had a decision to make."
"And what did you decide?"
"I decided to be the good guy," he replied. The sprite nodded. His eyes grew slightly hooded and distant as he responded.
"I know that can be a hard choice to make sometimes."
Then Sion's expression changed. His eyes unfocused, and in a surprised voice he said,
"I received a quest as well. It says that I am supposed to bring these 20 crystals to my mother."
Richter looked at him with surprise of his own. Sion just happened to get a quest that coincided with his own? It couldn't be a coincidence. The only thing he could think of was that their companion status was coming into play again. Being a companion seemed to mean absolutely nothing most of the time. When they had first been tied together, Sion hadn't even liked him, so it didn't necessarily mean that you'd have a best friend for life. At other times, though, it seemed to be vital. If the universe would give them complimentary quests, what else could their companion bond mean?
"Should I accept it?"
Sion asked hesitantly. Richter realized that he hadn't actually told Sion what his own quest was. He clapped his friend on the shoulder and filled him in on the complimentary nature of their tasks. Sion smiled in understanding and accepted his own quest. Right afterward, Tirad walked up. His group had returned while the two friends had been talking. The guards that had followed the captain were good-naturedly making fun of the soiled appearance of Calder's group. The responses were predictably vulgar.
"My lord," Tirad said, "we've found something."
"What is it?" Richter asked.
"It would be easier just to show you. It isn't far."
Richter nodded. Wanting to be fair, he ordered the soldiers in Tirad's group to carry the tentacles and aberration flesh outside and to collect more blood in vials. He chuckled internally at their small groans of disgust. He had learned long ago, though, that what truly divided a community wasn't crappy treatment. It was unequal treatment. As long as everyone had to wade through the same shit together, they'd grumble, but they'd do it and laugh together as they cleaned off later. The soldiers in Calder's group came along as escort to see what Tirad had found. Richter's group moved along, their way illuminated by the mist lights the captain and sergeant still held. Alma continued to snuggle on his shoulders. Tirad led him through a series of interlocking caves until they arrived at a particularly large one. Water flowed down from the ceiling in a small waterfall in a corner. It fell into a small pool on the floor that Richter realized must drain off somewhere in its bottom. In Futin's light, Richter could see that this cave was formed of marbled quartz and not simply gray stone like the other caves. The walls sparkled beautifully. They got barely a glance from Richter, though, because what was in the floor was infinitely more interesting. An intricate design had been carved a foot deep into the stone. It appeared each groove had been filled with glass, not the fragile silicon substance that you would see in windows, but instead the impossibly hard material that certain weapons and armor were made from. There were two main symbols with small dots and squiggles coming off of them, and surrounding them was a ring of much smaller symbols. The first large symbol looked like a triangle with two circles above it. It lay inside of a second symbol that looked like a square with concave sides. Richter recognized the center symbol as the representation for dark power from his book of lore. He could only imagine that this was the seal that the aberration had wanted him to unlock. The guards with him spread out around the seal, wary of crossing over it. He was about to walk closer to the seal when he heard one of the soldiers exclaim,
"It's a rune!"
Richter quickly looked over and saw that the speaker was a gnome. A quick use of analyze showed that the woman was an arcane gnome.
"What did you say, Biruya?"
The short woman looked around, clearly not having intended to draw her liege's attention. He nodded encouragingly at her, and she spoke up.
"I said it looks like a rune, my lord."
"Why does that surprise you?" he asked. "I've seen plenty of signs and writing since coming to the land."
Beruya shook her head.
A rune is no mere form of writing, my lord. It is a spell made solid. It is magic given permanence by the spell form carved into the rock and powered by a soul stone. Only a few in the River Peninsula know any rune magic these days.